Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. As for Football's Army Football Show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Sign up at emblemathletic.com and be a gear hero for your unit today.
Gone are the days when Army would win three games in an entire season because we are entering week four, just having finished week three, and we're standing at 3-0. Unless something catastrophic happens, we're going to a bowl game and quite possibly going to win the CIC again and might have double digit wins. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but overall very excited and motivated with where we're headed this season. Hey guys, welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, in Atlanta. I'm joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut and Oscar the Grouch in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Gentlemen, how are we feeling? Dan, we'll go first, then we'll head over to Oscar's trash can.
I'm good, man. Yeah, this Army team is good. It's a little hard to tell exactly how good they are after three games, but I think they are better than many of the other teams that we've seen play. And there's been a ton of upsets this year so far in college football. Army has avoided those traps, even when Western Kentucky brought it pretty strong there in the fourth quarter. So I'm happy. You know, things are good. We're looking up.
James, how you doing?
Oh, I loved watching Army's second and third string offensive players. I mean, just march down the field, run the football, classic Army offense in the entire second half. Made me feel very confident in our depth on the offensive side of the ball. So things are great.
That's good. That's a surprisingly positive take considering the trend we've seen from you the last couple of weeks.
Oh, that's such crap and you know it.
I'm not going to comment. I'm just here to stir the pot.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. As a reminder, everybody, this show is brought to you by Emblem Athletic. Emblem is the source for all your custom sporting goods needs. Let them trick out your unit. We have a ton of newly commissioned second lieutenants out in the Army. Guys, when you show up to your unit, they're going to have you make t-shirts. Don't try to draw it yourself. Don't get your girlfriend to do it. Don't get some specialists to do it. Go to Emblem Athletic. You'll get a high-quality design on a high-quality product, and it'll be worth your time and your money. Also, you can support a veteran-owned business. So it's a win-win-win. Definitely check them out. Great supporter of the show, great supporter of the armed forces. And we use them to create our season t-shirt. It was super easy. Check those out on our website if you're interested. But make sure to check out Emblem Athletic. Look good, feel good, and play good. Emblem Athletic can help. So this past weekend, kicking off at noon on CBS Sports, Army beat UConn 52-21. Black Knights went up 42-0 in the first half, and then Coach Munkin pulled out all the starters, even on special teams. Second, or frankly, the third team, wound up allowing 21 points, including a kickoff return for a touchdown, and then their quarterback had a big run. So really, you take away those two mistakes and miscues, and it was a very competitive second half. Even then, you know, I think our second team probably would have beat UConn's first team if they played the whole game. Either way, I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to Dan to recap the offense.
Yeah, so 504 yards of total offense, including nearly three full series in just the first quarter. That was one of the factor fiction that I did not think would hit, but it did. Army went 3 of 3 passing for 107 yards and a touchdown, rushed for 397 yards at 5.9 yards per carry. This includes several long breakaway runs, plus over a quarter and a half of just pounding the rock between the tackles with the number threes. It was crazy. Like, that was relentless running. It's worth noting that the Black Knights are one of the only teams in all of college football that have yet to have a three and out on offense all season. Quarterback Christian Anderson was a perfect 2 of 2 passing for 70 yards and a touchdown. He carried just 6 times for 21 yards, which is also outstanding. Slot back Tyrell Robinson led the way with 3 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown. That's 3 carries, 84 yards. Quarterback Jamel Jones, 16 carries, 67 yards, 1 pass for 37 yards. He's a great player. It's just interesting to note that he's kind of hanging out as the number 3 quarterback there. Slot back Brandon Walters, 1 carry, 58 yards. Really thought he was going to get to the house there. Finally, fullback Anthony Adkins had 10 carries for 58 yards plus 1 leaping touchdown that was awesome.
Yeah, and I think I saw a statistic that 14 Army players ran the ball.
Yeah,
which is insane. And to touch on, you know, we had three full series in just the first quarter. And yeah, that was a factor fiction. I think we all said fiction with the exception of, I think, Rob. And it, because it never happens, because Army goes on a 75-yard drive, takes up 10 minutes. There's only 15 minutes in a quarter. So maybe we get the ball twice in a quarter. But we were just so explosive, and they could not contain on the outside and the perimeter that all of our drives were three plays, four plays, five plays, six plays. Like, it was unbelievable. James, offensively, were you impressed?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's a way not to be, especially with how well the second string and third string performed. One of the things I thought was the funniest was the way that they solved Army's fullbacks was they moved their linebackers not up towards the line of scrimmage, but in, and they kind of like just left the perimeter wide open for at least the majority of the first quarter, two drives at least. And then there was the drive where Anderson picked up 12 yards on the ground, nearly broke free. And then the very next play, Tyrell Robinson scored the 70-yard touchdown. And what was hilarious was they were so scared about Robinson on the outside because they had just pounded him for, you know, Robinson for big yards or slotbacks for big yards for the last drive. And then Tyrell Robinson runs basically a dive through the A gap and picks up 70 yards. So as soon as they went outside, we put our fastest guy on the inside and he picks up a 70 yard touchdown. So that was awesome to watch.
Yeah, that was a counter trap. And one of the guards, I think he was Sam, I'm not sure how to say his name, Sam Barzak. He, you know, de-cleated two guys with one block on that. It's, if you look on Twitter, that, you know, his mom was tweeting that out. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And he just kills those guys.
She changed her bio instead of, you know, mother to an Army football player, mother to a savage blocker or something. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, we also had a former, defensive end score a touchdown. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. As much as I want to see us tested and really kind of, you know, make a name for ourselves, sometimes playing these puff teams is good because, one, we get to have a lot of people get depth, and two, it gives players an opportunity to really show what they have and do some funky things. Like I said, 14 people touch the ball. Like, most teams have three people that, you know, run the ball. We had 14.
Yeah. 16 people touch the ball if you include the passing. 14. Yeah. So, yeah. Wild. Wild. Wild statistic.
Yeah. It's like 75% of the starters, you know, 22. Anyway, James, go ahead and take us through the defense.
Yeah, you got it, Jordan. So, two sacks, four TFLs, and a pick off of Markell Broughton. Always good to see. They held UConn to 225 total yards, and they were 3 of 10 on third down. So great big plays when it mattered. UConn had four plays in plus territory in the first half when those starters were in. The only sort of bad part was that the backups were unable to stop UConn on any of their drives in the second half. The good thing was that they only had three drives in the second half because Army's offense was playing ground and pound and run the clock. So, UConn ended up not being able or being able to run past Army secondary. So at least the coaches know where they have to work now. It will be depth on defense, but a great standout performance from the starters. I think they caused two punts, two turnovers on downs, and then the interception in the first half. So I can't ask for more than that.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic defensive performance. Markell Broughton had interceptions in back-to-back weeks now. Which is fantastic. I think it's also back-to-back weeks where we did not have to punt. Do we punt against Western Kentucky?
I believe we have two punts on the year, and we have the fewest punts in the nation.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Either way, we did not punt this week. Quinn Moretzky was 1 for 1 on field goals and perfect for extra points. So really dominated all three phases of the game this week. So, James, since you tend to be the pessimistic fan, I'm going to give you the good this week. So you have to say good things about the Army team. Go ahead.
I have very few not fantastic things to say about Army this week. So, obviously, outstanding job getting the ball to the playmakers, especially in space. We saw Christian Anderson almost break free. We saw Tyrell Robinson break free on multiple occasions, and he was not the only slot back to do so. So, as we said, UConn sold out on those fullbacks, and Army picked up with their A-backs where their B-backs left off. And then later, when UConn spread out, those fullbacks, those B-backs came up big. So that was great to see. Brent Davis did a great job with adjusting as needed. Army's passing, super efficient this year so far, 11 for 13, averaging 21 yards, by far the most of the country, and they have four touchdown passes. So four touchdowns on 11 completed passes is pretty great. Defense this week held UConn to no yardage, almost no yardage in the first half. As we said, that was their starting defense, and they looked phenomenal. This game, as Jordan said, was domination on all three phases. And then we started putting in the plebes and a couple of faux pas. But, obviously, as Munkin said, when you have a lot of plebes out there, he's disappointed in what happened. But it's a good learning point, and it's data for going forward. No big injuries, which was Munkin's big thing at halftime. It's always great when your coach's biggest concern going into the locker room is we don't want any injuries. So, that's the good. But I don't know if you guys have anything else.
No, I mean, overall, we're very impressed. I tweeted, shout out to UConn because they were down by 35 points when I tweeted this, going after every PAT, like full extension, diving in front of the kick. Guys were playing every single play. Like, they did not stop fighting, considering the fact that their coach resigned / was fired a week or two ago. They're one of the worst teams in college football. They didn't play last year. Like, just – they have every reason to just roll over and die. And they stood there and they kept fighting and they kept, trying to win the game, even though it wasn't going to happen. And most importantly, they didn't try to start fights with our players like Western Kentucky did or Georgia State did. So I would love to play Connecticut every week if we could. Obviously, our strength of schedule would be abysmal, but I really appreciated them, the effort they put in and the way they conducted themselves. So for me, that was another good thing. Dan, why don't you go through and why don't you go ahead and take us through the bad?
So you hesitate to harp on this, but it did suck giving up points to UConn. They had not scored points against an FBS team all season. However, as we noted, Army kept their starters healthy. They got to play a bunch of plebes, and that was obviously more important at that point in the game. But yeah, I think everybody was looking for the shutout, and it kind of stinks that we didn't get that. And the other bad, and this has nothing to do with the UConn game, is that we learned today that ESPN has put the Ball State game on ESPN Plus, and that is bad. That is communism, and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's, I think, at 5 p.m. Eastern, which is not ideal. Unfortunately, I don't think Ball State has really performed the way people were hoping they would this season, so that probably influenced the decision a little bit, but definitely disappointing.
Well, they got motorboated by Wyoming last week, so yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, James, yeah, we gave up some points from the plebes. So what? Or does that matter? What do you think?
Does it matter from a perspective of a fan? It shouldn't. I'm not overly concerned. It was a little ugly, and I know we don't have a long ugly this week, that they pretty much let up two kick returns for a touchdown. I know one got called back for a penalty, but it's not as if that penalty had an effect on the play. So I kind of got lucky on that one. But as a fan, I don't really care if they're plebes. If 10 of the 11 kick return coverage guys are plebes, then whatever. I do want to see from a head coach a little bit more concern, and I think we got that. I know in the post-game presser, Munkin was talking about how disappointed he was and how when these guys step into these roles, he doesn't lower his expectations, and he makes clear what his expectations are, and I think that shows, and that's what I want to see out of a head coach. So concerned as a fan, no. Do I want to see concern in my head coach? Absolutely, and I think we saw.
This was definitely the first time I can remember seeing Army's backups come in a game like this where, the Army's way, way ahead and the level of play visibly drops off. And, I don't want to make too much out of it. It's the third game, and I know they were playing some different kids, but we hadn't seen that before. And I guess that just shows you the kind of starting talent that we have. But it wasn't exciting in terms of like, oh, look, we have all this awesome depth for the future. Like, Those guys need a little work. Was kind of my take.
Well, I think we do. I think we do have that depth on offense. I think the defense and special teams was the question, and I think we have seen a drop off in talent before in these sorts of games. But what we haven't seen is really stupid mistakes and missed coverages and missed assignments. And that was a little disappointing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing we need to consider is, okay, previously, have we been seeing the third string? Because we know we saw the third string this week. So previously, yeah, we saw the second string and it was great. You know, I guess we didn't look at the game close enough to see when we switched to second string, when we switched to third string to really kind of make that determination. But either way, Dan, I agree that it was a large talent drop off. And at least in recent memory, I don't remember that. Now, that could be selective. However, in recent memory, I do remember us struggling week one against Georgia State with some special teams. And then we saw that again this week. So is that potentially a bellwether for the season that, you know, special teams might be our weakness? I don't know. It might be too soon to tell. But the fact that we almost had two kicks returned for a touchdown didn't feel good and didn't look good, in my opinion.
Yeah. You don't want to harp on it too much, but watching it in the stands, you were like, come on, are you serious? Yeah, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah. For sure. So that was the recap of the UConn game. So now fact or fiction review. Last week, Dan said Jabari Laws will get at least two full series. That was fiction. All of us said fact. So we don't know what the heck we're talking about.
Well, they said they wanted to get him that second series, but I guess something took longer than they thought, and they basically just ran out of time. But they left Jamel Jones out there for a long, long time, which I guess is good because he, you know, could wind up running the offense at any moment. But it was surprising.
Yeah, he was in for almost the entire second half, and I thought they would try to rotate either Laws in or Ballard in a little bit more, and they didn't. So not sure the decision on that, but I'm sure they had a reason. I said last week that we would pass for over 100 yards. That was fact. Dan and James, y'all were both wrong, so you can suck it.
Yeah, I had a tough week.
the caveat there, and the good thing is that most of those passing yards were Christian Anderson. So once, you know, Jamel Jones had one pass, but once the backups were in, they were running, you know, ground and pound, and it looked like good Army offense from the backups.
Yeah, which is, in my opinion, what we should have done. Give them more experience, game time, triple option. Last week, Rob said Army will have four passing attempts this game with one for a touchdown. That was a fact.
Actually, that was a fiction. There were only three passing attempts. Well, the one for a touchdown. Apologies on that one. That's my fault.
Really? I thought, okay.
Three of three passing. Yep.
Oh, well. All right. So Dan didn't go 0-4. He went 1-4.
I went 1-3. I was right. Yay.
And then James said Anderson will be under four full drives against UConn, and that was fact. And
so Dan messed up again. He actually had five full drives. So Dan's actually 2-2.
Oh wow!
Dan. What a zoo! All right. Anyway, I felt like I had a tough week. Definitely, for whatever you're gonna say. All right. Good. Yay! I am the hero.
Yeah. So if you're interested in seeing more of our content throughout the week, obviously follow us on social media, join Patreon, but we are rebooting our mailing list. So a number of you joined the mailing list a couple years ago, and last year we did a couple giveaways around Army Navy. But we put out a ton of content every week. Almost every day we're dropping a podcast or an article. And yeah, you can follow us on social media and you'll see a lot of it, but everybody's busy. I mean, we know how it is. We're all working professionals, with the exception of James. And because of that.
Serve at the pleasure of the president, baby.
Whatever you gotta say. Anyway, all of us working professionals and young lieutenants are busy and we got stuff going on. And we don't always have time to sit on social media. So if you join our mailing list, you can sign up and get articles delivered to your inbox every week, and it will summarize all the content we've pushed out. Here are all the articles. Here's the recap. Here's the previews. Here's the podcast. Everything we have going on in one email in your inbox. Go to askforfootball.com, scroll down to the bottom, and enter your information into the subscribe box. It'll put you on our mailing list, and you'll hear from us once a week. We're not going to sell your information to the Chinese or the Russians.
I would, but that's technologically challenging.
Okay. Well, Dan doesn't have a moral compass. either way, it's easy. Help us help you sign up for our mailing list today. We appreciate it. So moving on to this week, you know, trying to go 1-0, 3-0, trying to go 4-0, 1-0 this week. Miami and Miami of Ohio are currently 1-2. They lost 49-14 to Cincinnati, 31-26 to Minnesota, and they beat FCS Long Island 42-7. Worst thing about all this is it really doesn't tell us where the team is overall. You know, Cincinnati is the number 8 team in the country. Yeah, they got shellacked by them, but you know, how close would Army keep it? Would we be able to win? I don't know. Minnesota, okay, they lost by 5. Minnesota's a good football team, playing the Big Ten. Then again, what the heck's the Big Ten anymore? So that doesn't really tell us a whole lot. And then they beat an FCS team. Great, you know, go ahead and play a school for the deaf and blind and see what happens. They're going to beat them too. So really don't know where they stand. But Dan, can you just kind of recap or just give us some analysis into offensively what they do and what we can prepare for?
Yeah, so I have not had a chance to actually watch any of this team. I'm sort of just going off the statistics, but this is a definite run-first offense that takes occasional deep shots down the field. Just to put this in perspective, they've run 111 runs this season versus 45 passes. Their quarterback is Brett Gabbert. That is Blaine Gabbert's little brother. He is 24 of 45 passing for 372 yards. That is 53.3% with 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a sack. Excellent that he's only got 1 sack considering they played Minnesota and Cincinnati. Gabbert also has 9 carries for 72 yards, though he got 42 of those on just 1 carry. They have a bunch of running backs who carried the ball. Keon Mosey has the most carries, 35 carries, 125 yards, 1 touchdown. That's 3.6 yards per carry. Then they've got David Aferi, 17 carries, 120 yards, 7.1 yards per carry. Overall, this team is averaging 4.5 yards per carry. They have 5 rushing touchdowns. That's not necessarily going to scare anybody, especially when you're running, you know, 2 runs for every pass. Receivers, these guys throw their tight ends a lot. 2 tight ends are amongst their top 4 receivers, including tight end Jack Sorensen, who has 13 catch. I'm sorry, wide receiver Jack Sorensen has 13 catches for 215 yards and 2 TDs. And then tight end Jack Coldiron, he's actually second on the team with 6 catches for 147 yards. So throwing to your tight end. Well, no kidding, right? Throwing to your tight end for 147 yards on just 6 catches kind of tells you something about that kid. I mean, he is obviously a big target there who can really run. But what does that mean overall? I mean, you know, 4.5 yards per carry is good, but not great. But then they've played 2 really good rushing defenses. So I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, if his big brother is any indicator, might be a little disappointed in the quarterback play, as a very bitter Jacksonville Jaguars fan, who's still upset that Blaine didn't work out. But that's another conversation for another podcast. James, what are we up against on defense?
Yeah, so leaving the school for the deaf and blind aside, the Red Hawk defense has given up 5.5 yards to FBS teams per carry, and 211 yards per game rushing. Now, Minnesota and Cincinnati both run a lot. Cincinnati's a bit more pass-heavy, but Minnesota definitely runs a lot. And the sort of scary thing is Ivan Pace Jr. leads their team with 22 tackles. He is a very good linebacker. That being said, the next 4 leading tacklers are all defensive backs. So I actually ran the numbers, and this is in the preview for the week. And by run the numbers, I mean I copied and pasted things to Excel and used some wizard Jedi math skills to look it up. But 46% of the tackles on that team are made by linemen or linebackers. So a majority of tackles are made by their DBs. That's about 15% less than normal teams have. Normal teams are around 60%. Army, I believe, is at 61. So their DBs are making their tackles. They have 1 real good threat at linebacker, but if Army can neutralize that threat, it should be a good day for our fullbacks. When it comes to their sack rate, they have defensive lineman Lonnie Phelps has 3 sacks, which is pretty impressive. Team has 7 total sacks and 2 interceptions. They do allow some passing yards. Obviously, when you play Cincinnati, that's going to happen, 195 yards per game. And their safety, Mike Brown, actually has a couple of spy sacks, or 1.5 spy sacks, so look for him on a spy blitz coming from behind. I don't know if Mike Brown's going to be as effective as a safety in this game. He's going to have a few more assignments facing the triple option, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the rundown. So on special teams, these guys are perfect at kicking. 9 extra points, 2 for 2 on field goals, strong kick coverage team. We'll talk about the betting line and game notes in a minute. James, I want to get your take. Obviously, you're going to put out the preview article. Check out AzureFootball.com to see that, or follow us on social media, or sign up for our email and you'll get in your inbox. But for those people who are too lazy to do those things, what's your
which
take?
Is all of you.
So one thing that kind of stood out to me was that either the spread is too small, or the over under is too low, because if you combine the two, Vegas predicts will score about 30 points. That seems pretty low to me. I have more faith in our offense than 30 points. But I don't know what you guys think.
This team reminds me a lot of Georgia State, just statistically. You know, you got a quarterback with a big arm, not the most accurate guy in the world, willing runner. And then they've got a bunch of running backs who they'd like to be getting more yards per carry. I mean, that's almost exactly what we saw from Georgia State. So I don't know if that's the level of talent that they have, but it's statistically, it's certainly what we've seen, granted against better competition than State has seen.
Yeah, James, I agree with you. I think this is a halfway decent football team who, with the exception of the FCS team, has played a tough schedule. So it's very possible they're going to come out and play aggressively and give us a run for our money. But it's also possible that, you know, we're going to come out and be able to score more than 30 points, and it'll be, you know, 35-14 or 35-21. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think if we don't score 30 points, we have more than one turnover on offense, or something crazy is happening where, I mean, just penalties up the wazoo. I find it unlikely that an Army offense that isn't making mistakes left and right doesn't score at least 30.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And, you know, we had some injuries against Western Kentucky. And so we know those guys are okay, and it wasn't as bad as we initially thought. They did not play against UConn. There's no reason for them to play. So it'll be interesting to see on our offensive line who gets the start and then how that impacts our offensive performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. James, you have any other takes?
For the game, yeah. So secondary, I think, has been the one part of the Army offense that isn't ready to go into Madison, Wisconsin right now and try to pull an upset off. I'd like to see that secondary shore up some questions. I think there's going to be a lot of third downs in this game. And similar to Western Kentucky, it's going to be about how that defense makes plays when it matters. So I'd like to see some secondary players other than Markell Broughton step up and make big plays when it matters, because I think there's going to be a lot of third downs. I think that how close this game is going to be a direct result of the Miami third down conversion percentage. Other than that, Gabbert can be a little slippery. He's not afraid to run if the pocket starts collapsing. So you just can't let drives get extended if Gabbert, you know, gets out. And you don't want to see third and sevens getting converted by the quarterback slip out of the pocket. So quarterback spy is going to be an important role in this game.
Yeah. Completely agree. And we've had mixed success when the quarterback gets out of the pocket. So we'll see how we do this week. Dan, what are your takes?
Yeah, the biggest thing is that I don't necessarily think these guys are going to run on Army, and I don't think Gabbert is accurate enough to survive on quick outs. So that means that they either need to hit the deep balls or lose a slow but relentless war of attrition. Attrition, yes. That's my 3-year-old talking there. On time of possession, which we've seen many, many times. You know, last time we played these guys, I thought that they played really, really well on defense. But I also thought that, at least on paper, it looks like they had a better linebacking core a couple years ago, and Army still, you know, got up and sort of let these guys creep back in. It'll be interesting. This definitely could be a close game. The ingredients are there for a close, exciting game. However, I think on paper, Army should win handily. I don't know if they cover 8.5, but it looks like it should be a pretty good game for Army. Pretty good matchup.
Yeah, I think we'll win by a touchdown. And to your point, you know, I still have PTSD from the last Miami of Ohio game. I had to go upstairs and watch it in the other room because my dad and I were putting out too much negative energy and getting each other riled up. So hopefully that does not happen this week, but we'll see. Either way, like Dan said, it currently Army minus 8.5, started at Army 7.5. That's a lot of points. It has already slid a point. It'll be interesting to see how it moves throughout the week and then where it ends up landing. Either way, Army minus 300 on the money line, over under is at 51.5. CBS Sports has the game, kickoff listed at noon. Really impressed with Jason and Ross's calls this week. I know we kind of criticized them a little bit last week, and I thought they did a great job against UConn. And then finally, weather is low to mid 70s and sunny, and it'll be nice not to melt for once. So, Definitely. You know, Dan can go out there and have too much beer and not worry about sunscreen. So it's the little things in life.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, that was the first thing I put in my bag this past week. And it was hot as anything up against UConn. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It was even hotter than week one. It was crazy. We were legitimately melting.
Yeah. Global warming is not a joke, folks. Anyway, let's go ahead and move on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
And Dan, you have the first fact or fiction, or the first factoid, we'll call it.
Yeah, this feels like low-hanging fruit, but I will say Army throws for another touchdown. James?
Yeah, I'm going to go fact. I mean, Brent Davis has been calling himself a game every single game. I feel like we just keep saying that. So if he keeps doing that and getting those safeties to bite, it'll just be sitting there, and Christian Anderson's arm is too accurate not to hit one for big yardage.
Jordan?
Fact. We're throwing effectively, and Miami's going to stack the box, and it's going to be open.
Yeah, so these guys already have their DBs making 60% of their tackles. I mean, it's just that's a recipe for disaster. So I will go fact as well. So that is fact agreement.
Yeah. All right. So I was going to say something along the lines of, you know, Army throws for 100 yards or whatever, but I did that last game. And, you know, you talked about Brent Davis. And so my fact or fiction is Brent Davis will unblock Ask for Football on Twitter by the end of the season. Dan?
Fiction, emphatic fiction, double underline, 3 exclamation points, not going to occur.
Okay. James?
Question. Do you get to, are you able to like message him from your private account?
I mean, I could. And
In other words, are you going to?
We'll see how I pick fact or fiction. I don't know. That's also kind of
okay. I'm going to concur with Jordan, whatever that means.
Okay. You know, it feels kind of low to be like, hey, can you unblock me on Twitter?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, that's a conversation that you have to work your will. Yeah. Go ahead, Jordan. Sorry.
I don't want to say we're above that because, you know, the offensive coordinator does have us blocked. So we're obviously not important enough for him to be following up. I'm going to go ahead and say fiction. It will not happen organically.
Yeah, I get the sense that he's just trying to cut down on the noise, which is a good idea. If I'm the offensive coordinator, I don't care what Ask for Football has to say about the way I call the game. It would be a strategic mistake to listen to us. That's my personal opinion.
We don't know what we're talking about. Like, we don't make money doing this. Are you kidding me? Like, I get it.
It never occurred to me that he like needs to listen to the show, like not even one time. I actually feel bad that there are players listening to the show. Players, do not listen to this show. We know less than you do.
All right, I mean, we're kind of
check that. Everybody listen to the show.
Yeah, that's true.
And go join the Firsty Club.
Parents, have your parents listen to the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That parents need to join the Firsty Club. I'll shut up. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. Thanks for tanking our numbers, Dan.
My fact or fiction this week stems from a conversation that Dan and I, and I guess everybody had offline beforehand, which is how effective is the Miami passing game going to be? So far, they've completed about 55% of their passes. So my question is, or my fact or fiction is, Miami completes 55% of their passes. Do you think that Army's secondary is going to be better than average or worse than average facing Miami this year? So I'm going to kick it over to Jordan.
I'm going to say fiction. I think that, you know, our secondary has had some issues, but they've improved game over game. At least the starters have. And I think if we have everybody healthy, we'll be able to contain them. And I don't think that Gabbert's accurate enough to throw the deep ball. And like Dan said, I don't think he's going to be effective enough throwing it underneath. So I don't think that they're going to have, 40% completion. I think it'll probably be like 53 or 54. I'm going to try to get away with the technicality here, but I'm going to go ahead and say fiction.
Okay.
I feel like this should have been an over under, and I will take the under. The under 55% of their passes. I think this is going to be a long day. I think that this is, you're going to see the deep. This is exactly the wrong kind of offense to go up against Army's defense. Run heavy, not accurate passing. This is exactly the kind of defense that this, or exactly the kind of offense that this defense was built to stop.
Okay. So we have two fictions and a fact on that one. That's it.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Dan, why don't you close us out with your favorite thing?
My favorite thing, and I posted this on Twitter, and then later a better picture from my actual camera, was that dude in full face paint for UConn. A man is either a hero or a villain, but you have to respect his dedication either way. You just know he was sitting there until midnight scrubbing all that paint off his face. Yeah, I mean, he was blue on one side, white on the other, wearing pajama bottoms. I mean, it was really a manly showing in 80-degree heat with his team getting blown out 42-0. He stood the entire game. Like, this is the saddest, most dedicated UConn fan, and I kind of love him. It was an amazing thing to witness.
Yeah. I mean, one, it's UConn. It's not like we're talking about, Tennessee or Georgia or something like that, where you have fans that do it every week. So it's UConn. That's not the culture. It's impressive. And the fact that they're so stinking bad, and he still did that for the whole game. So mad props to him. James, you have anything?
Nope. Let's get out there and beat the Redhawks.
Absolutely. Let's beat them. Thanks for listening to the show, everybody. Make sure to like and subscribe. Follow us on social media. Join Patreon and check out emblemathletic.com. Until next time, go Army. Beat Miami of Ohio.
Beat them.
As for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast, As for Football, and Army Athletics. You can find us across all platforms of social media at As for Football. And as always, we would like to thank our sponsor, Emblem Athletic. Emblem Athletic is the source for all your custom sporting good needs. Be a gear hero for your unit today. Visit emblemathletic.com. Join the As for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.